Praise the Lord. What a beautiful day outside. Every day the Lord gives us is a beautiful day. I'm not going to be long today. I got a short message. It'll be in Ephesians chapter 4. The other day, Robin said something to me. And it kind of sparked something. Every now and then, people do that. You know, they'll say something to me, and I'll say, I got to go think about it, pray about it. Because they'll be speaking words of the Lord, and not even know they're doing it. She said something to me the other day. And I don't remember the exact words she used, but they went along those lines. We got people in other churches in the ministry. And there are people out there in the world in other churches. They all have their lives. They have their work. They have their families. And they come together once or twice a week, or maybe three times. They never see how they react with one another or how they should. Out here at the ranch, it's a different story. We have different members out here at the ranch. And every member, no matter what they do, whether they do it right or whether they do it wrong, whether it be good or whether it be bad, affects every other member. We're to be the body of Christ. That's what the scripture says. And the body is made up of different parts. They're supposed to fit together and they're supposed to serve one another. When the body doesn't serve one another and doesn't fit together right, we got a problem. We call it genetic defects. Maybe, I don't know about you, I couldn't walk with three legs. I'd be stumbling over one of them. And it would really be hard to overcome not having two arms. Or having two arms and no hands. Now in Ephesians, and you've heard us preach on this many times, Steve hit on it a little bit today. Verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You go to the average pastor and you ask him, whose job is it to perfect the saints? And he'll say, all of us. You know, I sure wouldn't want a toe doctor operating on my brain. Somehow or another, I wouldn't have too much confidence in that. What are you? I'm a foot and mouth doctor. Well, what are you doing in here? I'm going to operate on your brain. Well, what do you know about my brain? Absolutely nothing, but I'll find out sooner or later. How many of y'all would say, oh, okay, and sign the consent form? None of you. Or would you like an ear, nose, and throat specialist work on your butt? He might get the smelling nerves mixed up. You wouldn't like that, would you? Then you'd have to put up with what everybody else has to put up with. You want a doctor that's qualified to do the work. The only people that are qualified to perfect the saints are those to whom God gave the revelation of the word to do that job. And that's the apostles and prophets. It's not the job of the pastor. It's not the job of the evangelist. And it's sure, praise God, ain't the job of the teacher. Teacher only teaches what he's told. He doesn't receive revelations. The revelations of Jesus Christ are given to the apostles. John spoke of that right over in his little book. And how it was given to them to give to you. And so it is still today. It has not changed. Yet people want to make it change. The work of the ministry is the job of the pastor and the evangelist. The evangelist chases them into the church. The pastor hogties them and keeps them there. And then the teachers, if they do their job right, take that which they have learned from the apostles and edify the body. In other words, feed it. Isn't that simple? Now look at this. This is where most people stop. See that first word, till. Until. This is going to continue on until we all come in the unity of the faith. Now stopping right there, look in America today. There's no unity of the faith. Praise God, even the Baptist Church has over 110 different denominations because they can't even agree with themselves. Look at the Pentecostals. Even the Methodists can't agree with themselves. Poor old John Wesley must be turning around in his grave. He came out with a pretty good deal. He died, they ruined it. Church of Christ started out pretty good. But Christ hadn't been there in a long time. He left. In fact, I don't see God in any of the churches out here. It's hard sometimes even to see him here. Because everybody's too busy doing their own thing. Serving themselves. Using God and his provisions. To do what they want rather than doing what he wants. And if you call them on it, they get mad. They get angry. They go around judging one another. Comparing yourself to others and always making yourself better than them. Your excuse is, well, they just don't know any better. They don't know me. I'll tell you what, God knows you, he knows me, and sometimes I wish he didn't know me. I'd have it a lot better if he didn't, because I'm accountable, and you are too. You're accountable to how you act toward one another. You're accountable to how you serve one another. You're accountable to how you obey and submit to those in authority. You're accountable. It goes on. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Do you have my knowledge of the Son of God? I don't think so. If you did, you wouldn't act the way you did. I'm not just talking to those in this building. I'm talking to those in South Carolina, North Carolina. I'm talking to those in New Hampshire and in Vermont and over in Africa and India. And wherever else, Arizona, Colorado, wherever we have people, that call themselves disciples in the fisherman ministry. The Philippines, the best example of wanting to serve the Lord and submit and obey and submit as I have seen yet comes from the Philippines. Unto a perfect man, not a woman, a man. The church is the body of Christ. The church is a he, not a she. What do you call a man that thinks it's a woman and wants to marry another man? Some people are polite and call them gay. I call them faggots. Homosexuals, fruitcakes. Oh, but that's not politically correct. I don't care about politically correct. I care about the truth. And the scripture says and teaches us that nothing can be manifest in the flesh until it's first seen and manifest in the spirit. So if the church is running around out there thinking they're queer, why are we surprised that the homosexuals are taking over the nation? Why are we so surprised? Church has got to get it right. The nation just follows what we do. Everybody wants to blame Congress. Everybody wants to blame Obama. Everybody wants to blame Bush. Everybody wants to blame somebody, but they don't take the blame for themselves. Obama just represents 90% of the preachers in this country. Because 90% of the preachers in this country are just about as honest as he is. They go out and they try to show people how holy they are and how righteous they are and how wonderful they are. And they're a bunch of thieves. Jesus didn't like the Pharisees. Why? Because they had usurped the seat that God had given to the Levites. The Levites were called of God to serve him as his ministers, not the Pharisees, who were made up of the other tribes. Paul himself, what was he? He was from the tribe of Benjamin. And he was a Pharisee. God straightened him out. Praise God. God has a people that he's called. And it's time they stand up. Now look at this. Unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Do you know why it is so hard when you live in a situation like we do at the ranch? Do you know why it's so hard to get along with one another? Because God is seeking to perfect and perform this in us. You can't run from it. You can't go off for 5 days and hide from it like you can in other churches. You go to another church, you come to church on Sunday, you put on your show, dee-dee-dee-dee, and then you all leave, and you go back to your old sorry selves. And the world laughs. But when you're here, when you're in the camp, you get out of this building, there you are. When I walk out of this building, there I am. You're going to see me 7 days a week. 365 days a year unless I run away. Amen, Brother Davey, it's the truth. And I can't hide myself from you. But you know what? You can't hide yourself from me either. And what's more important, we cannot hide ourselves from God. And those of you out there listening, I don't care where you are from, who you are, what church you go to. The same goes for you. You might hide from your pastor. You might hide from your people in your church. But you can't hide from God. Some of the messages that were preached today dealt with count the cost. What does it cost you to become a Christian? Well, I look at most Christians and they count, what did it cost God for you to become a Christian? It cost God his son. It cost Jesus dying on the cross. What's it cost you? Have you counted the cost? What makes you think your cost is any different than Jesus' cost? What makes you begin to even think that you don't have to pay the same price that Jesus paid to have eternal life with the Father? What do you think he was talking about when he said, take up your cross and follow me? He wasn't talking about going to the fair or to a Tupperware party. Die to yourself and live for Christ. Give up your life with your will and live for Christ. Only when you do that, can you be a Christian? Only when you do that, and we do that, can we become one in him and be that perfect man that God will use to hold back the corruption and turn it all around. You can vote for whoever you want to for president. It ain't going to change a thing. Ain't going to change a thing. But if you vote Jesus, if the church would vote Jesus and humble themselves and pray, then God would move on this nation and change it. Amen. That's all I got to say.